Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Good morning, church. Yeah, we want to welcome you to church today, those here in this auditorium, and for those watching us online and those who will watch maybe on the catch-up, you're welcome to Life Community Church, and thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. How many of us have been enjoying the book of Ephesians?
Yes.
It's been mind-blowing. I've really enjoyed it, not because I'm one of the teachers of it. I've always enjoyed the book of Ephesians. It's one of my most favorite books in the Bible. The reason for this is not partial, honestly, because it shows us a lot about whom we are. And that's why the tag for this series, This Is Us, so captures it so well. This is us. Amen. This is us. Amen. It's good to know whom you are, isn't it, church? Praise God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to sit under your, oh God, feet to learn, oh God, of you. We just pray, God, this morning as we hear your word, we ask that you speak to our hearts. Lord, answer questions, oh God, that we, oh God, have been nagging in our heart, and we pray that your word will bring hope, will bring courage, will bring faith, and build life into us this morning. I pray as your, O God Almighty, servant, that you speak through me and let your word, Lord God, found life in our spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So what we're going to do this morning to start with, because it's the final of the final, as per Ephesians, we are going to stand to our feet. We are going to read the entire chapter. Is that okay, church? It's only 24 verses, so it's not going to be long. So please let us stand. The media will help us, and we will crack on from verse 1. Media, please, let's go. Are you ready, church?
Yes.
Are you ready to read God's word?
Yes.
All right, let's go. One, two, go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you will obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whether they are slave or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their masters and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you can stand. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in our spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whatever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, we tell you everything so that you also may know how I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Somebody say amen. Woo, glory to God. Please. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. So today we are looking at the last chapter, which I tag Winning Where It Matters Most. Winning Where It Matters Most. From the beginning of Ephesians, right from chapter 1, we saw Paul began to build on something. He was going somewhere, but he started by making us understand whom we are in Christ. He showed us that we were once dead in our sins and trespasses, but by accepting Jesus into our life as Lord and personal Savior, that we have passed from death to life, that now we are blessed. We are chosen. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That we are seated with God in the heavenly realm, far above principalities and powers. And not only that, that God have brought us, has opened unto us the mystery of the cross, have been made known to us. That today we know whom we are. We don't look for God because we know he is in us. So Paul made all this revelation known to us because he was going somewhere. And we saw that after teaching us the doctrine, he moved on to what we should be doing. He said, do not be angry, wherein is excess. Do not drink wine, wherein is excess. Do not be angry and do not give place to the devil. We talked about that last week. Amen. And today, we saw Paul taking us on a journey. And what he's declaring to us here is that it's a clear message that victory starts long before the battle becomes visible. Victory starts long before the battle becomes visible. No wonder the Bible told us in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that in all of these things, in everything you are going through now, in everything you will ever go through, you are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. So the victory you are looking for is already won. So victory starts long before the battle becomes visible. And in chapter 6, as we just read, we saw Paul communicating a vital truth to us, that victory begins at home. Because what you are outside, whatever you are going to be in life, all starts from the home. A dysfunctional home will produce dysfunctional people, and dysfunctional people will result in a dysfunctional society. And a dysfunctional society, we move from chaos to chaos to chaos to chaos. Hallelujah. If you can't fix the family, you can't fix the community. So Pastor Leon took us through husband and wife relationship. But here, we saw Paul admonishing children, because a family is a place that contains father, mother, and the children. So they are not left out. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. If you check clearly, if there are things wrong in any man's life, look at how that person has lived his life even from when he is young. Obey your parents, for this is right. God expects us to be people of obedience. Whoever you are, God expects us to be people of obedience. And the first statement, the first thing Paul wanted us to know as children is that obedience determines your end game. Obedience determines your end game. And obedience is not a function of who your parent is, as in if they are good people or bad people. It's not a function of their economic ability. It's a command from God to us. He said, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Children in the house. I know when I say that now, they're looking for the younger ones. But you know that we are all children. We all have parents. If your parents are no more, you know you had parents. Right. Bible said that we should honor our parents. It's a command with promise. If you read Exodus chapter 20, when God gave the Ten Commandments, the legacy commandments, which everyone know, from the first to the last, there was none with a promise attached. He said, obey, honor your parents, so that your day may be long in the earth, so that it will be well with you. So if things are not well with you, you might need to check. Have you been so disobedient to your parents? Because it's not a curse. It's just a reality.
Yeah.
It's just a reality. It will come whether you like it or not. And let me say this quickly. That your action determines where you end up. It is not what someone is doing to you. It is what you are doing to yourself. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So obedience determines your end game. Number two, children, please listen to this. Honor is a pathway to prophetic blessing. Honor is a pathway to prophetic blessing. If you want to be blessed, learn to honor your parents. Learn to honor them. Honor is not if I see, church, I know we live in a community where everybody's on their own. You can do whatever you like, of course, especially when you turn 18. You are no man's business anymore. But listen, no matter how old you are, honoring your parents is a must. And you should consider that as a must. And don't forget that God says we should obey our parents in the Lord, right? Meaning that in obeying your parents, it should be something that will be pleasing to the Lord. That one is clearly defined. It doesn't mean you should do everything, even if it doesn't honor God. He said, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother. Please, let's cultivate an attitude of honor. Honoring our parents. Whether they were there for us when we needed them or not. Please honor them. Let me tell you this. If you don't honor your parents, right, you exclude yourself from the blessings of God. It doesn't matter if your parents were there for you or not. Honor is what you give to as a door opener into your divine destiny. So it is not, did my parent help me when I needed him? No, it's irrelevant. Honor is what you do to open the gateway to your divine destiny. If you are a child of God, you have no option. You have no option than to honor your parent. Honor is more than compliance. It is an attitude of respect. Show them the respect they desire, they deserve, because they brought you into this world. And Paul didn't stop there. He also addressed parents. So you say, oh, yeah, everything, parents, children, obey your parents. Parents, Paul is also talking to us. He said, fathers, do not exasperate your children. He used father there because in those days, it's easy to just hit the man and... But he's talking to both mothers. Do not frustrate your children. Don't. There are various ways we do it without knowing. We can treat our children in ways that are not godly. The first point I put here, lead with patience instead of anger. Lead with patience. Children will always be children. They will need your patience to guide them. They will need it. Please note that. Number two, raise children in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. The question I always ask myself when I have a dealing with my children is, what I'm doing now, will God be pleased with it? Especially when I'm angry, because sometimes you talk to children, they don't want to listen, you shout, and you know, sometimes you react. I'm like, will God be happy with this way I react? That reflection helped me to keep making amends as a person. So parents, let's learn to instruct our children in the way of the Lord. Let's guide them right. Why you can't make decisions for them, especially when they are becoming teenagers, let's make sure that we are there pointing the torchlight on their path so that they can see the right way to go. Once you have done that, you have done what God demands of you as a parent. So we are going to move on to point number two, because we have to finish this big lesson today. Number two, victory continues at work. You see, it's not just at home. When you leave your house, when you win at home, is a very good one. But you also need to win somewhere else, at work. If you are working and you are under anybody, or even if you are doing your own business, remember that everything about your life is service to God. It's not just about making money, buying a house, buying a car. It's service to God. So if you see your profession, your job that way, that you are not just a worker, you are an apostle in the marketplace, you will be a different person. You will work differently. You will respond to things differently. It doesn't matter what others are doing. You do it with a mindset that you are not just here making money, but that you are here representing heaven. Because you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So, he said in verse 5, he says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Now, in Paul's days, it was a matter of master and slaves. If you need a worker, you just buy a slave. You just pay for a whole human being and acquire the person and bring them over. So it was it was very okay in his time, because you don't have paid worker, you just buy them. But in our days, we are not slaves. In fact, you can't do that. You get jailed very quickly. But he's talking to workforce. To the workforce of today's world. Obey. He said, serve not because someone is looking at you. The first thing Paul was pointing to us here is that we should work sincerely.
Yes.
Spend your time doing your job.
Yeah. Come on.
Do it sincerely. Yeah. Put your heart to it. Yeah. Number two, give your best effort.
Yeah.
It might be criticized. Why there is room for improvement, but always make sure you give your best effort. Even at the end of the day, you are let go. Make sure you live happy because you have given your best. Always be at your best. Don't get to a point where they tell you, oh no, you haven't done your best. And you know, indeed, you didn't do your best. And when they talk to you, say, because I'm a Christian. No. It should never get to that point. If there are people that must be at best in everything they do, they must be Christians. They must be Christians. Whether as a student, you must be the best because you have the memory of Jesus in you. If you are working, you must be the best. You must give your best to it because you have the wisdom of God inside of you. Then we must serve as though we are serving Christ. We must serve, even in our place of work. To be honest with you, what God is doing in our life is, as we come to church, God gives us his word. He wants us to take that word back into our workplaces. How do we do that? By shining the lights through the way we work. That people, People will ask, you're always calm.
Yeah.
You're always, you know, peaceful.
Yes.
Why are you like this? Are you not troubled that this person is doing this? That is an opportunity for you to shine your light. That's an opportunity. So please, let's not forget this, that we must serve as though we are serving Christ. Then if you are a leader, because Paul also addressed masters. He said, masters, do not treat them unfairly. So please, number one thing is we must lead fairly. If you're in a position of power, you have people you manage. Please manage fairly. Understanding that you have a master in heaven that you will report to one day. You will tell how you manage the people under you. Then again, as a master, as a manager, you must learn to reject intimidation. Don't victimize people under you. Create an opportunity for them to grow. Give them training opportunities. Let it be that since the day that person has been working in your team, that he has had the greatest opportunity to grow and to improve. It's possible that you will have people in your workplace that are not exactly fit for the role, maybe because of their skills, their training, but it's not an opportunity to show how good you are and how bad they are. It's an opportunity to train someone. It's an opportunity to give someone a platform to grow. So managers, understand that you have a manager who is looking down from heaven on every bit of things that you do. And the last thing to workers or to the labor force, and if you're a manager in particular, remember that everyone answers to the same Lord. Remember that. Both your teammates and your manager, everyone, no exception, we will all answer to the same Lord. The third point Paul wanted us to also know here is victory requires spiritual strength. Victory requires spiritual strength. In verse 10, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You see, if Paul had said, be strong, maybe I will double the number of times I go to the gym so I can be strong. But here he says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. That is, the strength is not you. It's got to be in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The goal is for you to stand. Now the question is, are you really standing? Are you standing? There are people, they are not far away, even amongst us here, there are people that don't believe in the existence of, that don't believe in the existence of devil. Some of us, we are like this. Devil, you are there. I am here. Everybody to their own tent. Everybody do their own business. But life is not like that. We all understand that life is a battle.
Yes.
Is anybody who understand that? Is anybody who doesn't understand that life is a battle?
Yeah.
Life is a battle. You will hear they say this person is having a health battle or financial battle. But in all this, the underlying battle is not really financial battle. It's not really health battle. It's not family battle. It's a spiritual battle. Because that's where everything starts. Whether you acknowledge it or not, it doesn't take the reality away. The only thing that it does, it makes you a victim of life. Spiritual battle is real. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are not fighting political powers. If you like, turn prime minister one every year. It won't solve your problem. Because the battle you are fighting is beyond what's happening number 10. They are spiritual. If you want to fare better, you don't need to change prime minister 100 times. No, it won't solve your problem. Our battle is spiritual. We are fighting spiritual forces that we do not know. And I want you to know, there are three things I want you to know. It will help your life a lot. Number one, you need to know God. I mean, do everything possible to know God as much as possible. Number two, you need to know yourself. You need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know the powers God has given to you. And number three, you need to know the devil. That might sound strange. Yeah. You need to know the devil because you cannot fight an enemy you don't know. You need to know the devil. And that's where many of us are lagging behind. We don't know the trick of the enemies. We don't know how devil fights. You need to know. Understand your enemy. And one of the things the devil wants to do, the devil wants to remain invisible. He wants you to be ignorant of his devices. You know what happened? During the American Revolutionary War, those that read history, right? One of the greatest strategies that the Americans used to subdue British Army was that the British Army, they have very nice heart with red jackets to fight a war. But the Americans said, we are not going to do this. What we are going to do is, we are going to wear earthy cloth that will make us look like green leaves in the green or mud. That's the evolution of camouflage that you see today. So they became totally invisible to the British Army. And the British Army with their red jacket could easily be targeted. And that was one of their strategies in overcoming that battle. The same way is what the devil is doing. He wants you to be ignorant of his antics. And if you look here, he said that we will be able to stand against the scheme of the devil. The devil doesn't have that power as much as you think he has. He does have some, but that is the one you delegate to him. He doesn't inherently have, except you give him power. Then he used the power against you. He said, understand this so that you can stand against the scheme. Because it comes with plans, with strategies. Then he gets the power from you. Okay, let me show you an example that one way he gets the power from you. For example, you have limited amount of money and something just happened to your mind. You need to do something. It's very important. You need to do something very important. And the first thing you utter from your mouth, I don't have money. You have just used your mouth to say, I don't. Because Bible says every word you say is what God will do to you. So you give him the power of not having money and you'll be struggling. You'll be looking at the project. It's clear you really need it. Your life depends on it, but you never have the resources to fund it. We need to learn to reverse the way we talk. Ooh, or maybe you have a slight headache. This sickness has come again. This sickness is killing me. They sound very innocent, but you are digging your grave by such words. We have to be careful what we say as believers. Yes. Because Bible says that by our speaking, by our confession, salvation is made available. Romans 10:10. I'm paraphrasing that scripture now. The way we talk determines what we are going to get, not what we have. No, not what you have. So that's one of the ways we give him power, but that's not the goal today. So Bible said we should put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Now he gave us the armor. Can you please show us that armor? Oh yeah. Now look at the armor. In Roman days, in those days, this was how soldiers were dressed. Not today. If the Bible was to be written today, they would say, put on the whole armor of God develop the drones and the ballistic missiles and you know all that. But in those days, that was how it was. You have the breastplate of righteousness. Now let's start from the top. The helmet of salvation. Now look at that. That comes on you naturally by saying yes to Jesus. Your head is protected. Now look at it. Your head is the most important part of the body. The reason is, if your head is off, you are gone. Because they can cut your hand and you can still manage to live. You can actually do every other thing. But your head, you need salvation to keep it in place. Then, the second thing, very important, the breastplate of righteousness. That is what you gain from Jesus. And you walk by the seed of righteousness sown in you, you begin to grow it with your day-to-day life. Now, look at a group of weapons that I want you to be aware of. One is the belt of truth, the shield of faith, and the sword of the spirit. If you look at those three, they all come from God's word. Your understanding of God's word determines how those weapons, how those armors are put on you and how they help you in your day-to-day life. Then you have your shoes, which is the readiness from the gospel of peace. I'm not going to dwell much on this today because of time, but understand that of all these weapons, only one is an offensive instrument. The rest are defensive. It means God didn't really... We are not made to fight. We are made to stand in the victory that Jesus has already won for us. But you have to do something. You have the word of the, which is the sword of the spirit. You must keep that word alive. When headache comes, in the name of Jesus, I am healed. When you don't have money in your pocket, he supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If there's a relation of yours that is not saved, for the Bible says that it is the will of God that all men come to know Jesus. You begin to speak God's word. If there is lack of promotion in your place of work, instead of nagging and reporting, you say promotion come not from the south, not from the east, but from God. Learning to use God's word in your day-to-day life is important, church. And this is where God wants us to grow into. If we want to live a victorious life, if you want to live a victorious life, we must learn to use the word of God. Victory that is spiritual must require the strength of God. And when you put on all this, the strength of the Holy Spirit comes to you. Now, I'll begin to wrap up in the last point I want to share. That victory is sustained through prayer. Victory is sustained through prayer. Now, in verse 18, we saw Paul saying to us here, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the lost people." Praying always, not sometimes, not when you are happy, not when you feel it. I want to nudge person beside you. I say, pray, not when you feel it. Your prayer should be clocked. I don't understand how you want to stand victorious when you only pray when you feel it. It can never happen that way. And you can never be victorious that way. Prayer should be something in your calendar. It should be something in your to-do list. Pray. You don't pray because there is something now that needs prayer. And you, Lord, no. Let's pray. That is good if there is an emergency, right? It's only fire extinguishing emergency. But your life should be embedded in prayer. It should be embedded. It said, pray always with all kinds of prayer. What is all kind of prayer? What is all kind of prayer? All kind of prayer means all kind of prayer. Speaking in the Holy Spirit, even when you don't know what to say. That is why, church, if you are not filled in the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you will really need to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because if you are only praying in your word, there is nothing much you can do. You get easily tired. Absolutely. But you learn to when you learn to pray in the Spirit, the Spirit empowers your natural body and you are able to pray. Now, there's something, when I was growing up as a Christian, I have another sister who was ahead of me, of course. She would pray 1 hour. How are you doing this? I will set my clock to pray. Oh Lord, I'll start. I'll be feeling the fire. By the time I finish all the prayer, I thought I've prayed for 1 hour. I checked my time. Oh, it's just 5 minutes. Jesus is Lord. Now, what does that point to us? That prayer requires practice. Practice and consistency. Keep praying. Start small, you will never end small. Don't stop praying. And again, never let there be anything too little to pray for. If you cannot trust God for the little things, when the big stuff happens, you can't even trust Him, let alone to pray. So prayer should be in our DNA. Paul said we should pray always with all prayers, all kind of prayer. And in other chapters, we saw Paul telling us that we should pray without ceasing. Pray with no particular time. Oh, this is my time of prayer. I have a time of prayer in my house. At that time, if you call, nobody will pick. No matter the emergency, we will finish praying and we attend to the emergency. But thank God we haven't had any emergency. Praise God. But you must have a time, because what that does is your system begin to adjust. Don't forget that we are in the flesh. The Paul says that our flesh is warring against our spirit. The way to overcome the battle is to set clear goals. Today, at 6 a.m. before I leave the house, I will pray for 15 minutes. In the evening, I will pray for 15 minutes. Let's say that's a start. For some, maybe 1 hour. Make it religious. Make it pious. Make sure that you create time for it. That since in my home, since we started praying every day at a particular time, we have never had any reason to stop. Even when I don't feel like praying, even when I'm very tired, we make sure we pray. The reason is that we are building something in our spirit that tomorrow we expand into something much bigger than us. That's the point. And Paul says, not only praying for your needs or for what you want, praying for others. Praying for others. Let's be a church that is fired up in prayer. Pray always. Pray all the time. Say, pray for others. And most importantly, he said, pray for me. Pray for me. How many of us spend time just to pray for our pastors and say, God, give them the grace to lead us? How many of us do that? And how often do we do it? It should be something in our calendar, at least once a week, to pray for them. At least once a week. Pray for your leaders, because they are your shepherd. And if they are struck, what happens? The sheep will scatter. Amen. I know it's easier to say, oh, my pastor is not this, my pastor is not that. But you can help your pastor to become whatever you want him to be by raising him up in prayer, by making sure that you bring him in your nighttime prayer, in your morning prayer, and all time. And not only our pastors, pray for one another. Let's learn to pray for one another. So this morning, we are going to rise to our feet and we're going to spend a few minutes to pray. Because we can't talk about prayer without practicing it. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for the church. And I want to carry this spirit, not just here, take it home. Nothing should be too small to pray for. Pray for your job. Pray for your... You don't need to have a trouble at work before you start praying. You don't need to have sickness before you start asking God to heal you. Start saying to yourself, I enjoy divine health. I'm not old yet. I'm already praying for my old age. Because if you don't do it now, if you get there, you won't be able to do it. You become too late. Pray for your children while they are still small. Don't wait until they grow before start, ah, Lord, they are going to university. Oh, which one do they go? Which one should... No, that's not good. That's not good. Let's learn to pray for things ahead of time. If you are a single person, be praying for the wife you are going to marry or the husband you are going to marry, even when you are not even yet ready at all. Pray ahead. Because a time will come when you will be in love, you won't remember to pray. Yes. Yes. It's the prayer you pray before that will be speaking for you. And even if you get the wrong person, that prayer will, in a way, that's how life works. That's how life works. Pray for your parents. Pray for your brothers. Pray for your sisters. Let's cultivate the attitude of praying. And not only that, pray for your community. Pray for your... Since the day we moved to rugby, I've never stopped praying for that community. Because I know God brought me to rugby. I didn't have rugby in my plan 5 years ago. It just showed up and we're like, oh yeah, we love this place. Let's go. So pray for the community where you are. Don't stop praying. Now look at this. If you have to pray for 1 hour, by the time you pray for your community, you pray for your children, you pray for your father, your parents, you pray for... 1 hour is complete. It's gone. It's gone. So church, God wants you to win. In fact, he has already made you a winner. But one thing you must know is that he will not do the stuff that he has committed into your hand for you. You have to do it. I think I've shared the testimony a number of times here of Pastor E. Hagen. He was in a conversation with Jesus in a vision. And the demon came in between. And he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. And Jesus couldn't hear what he was saying. And it became so annoying that this beautiful revelation everything became blurred because Satan came in between. And in the annoyance, he said, I rebuke you, Satan. And the demon flew off. And he saw Jesus. He was like, Jesus, why didn't you do something about, how can Satan come in between you and me? He said, remember I told you, I have given unto you all power in heaven and on earth. If you hadn't done anything about it, I won't do it. So God will not do your work. You know, why are Christians sick? It's because Christians are not taking authority. They are not utilizing the healing that Jesus died on the cross for. It's not because God wants you sick. God will not use sickness to show you his love. Let's stop saying that. Or when you have tried, say it's not the will of God. Who told you it's not the will of God? Where did you find that? Did God told you particularly that this is not my will? Sometimes we need to understand that the shield of faith is needed in some things, and in some other things you need the sword of the spirit, and in other areas you will need to put on the shoes in readiness to carry the gospel of peace for some issues to be resolved. That's why you need to put on the whole armor of God, so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, and so that you can stand. He said, I haven't done all to stand. God wants a standing church. Shall we rise to our feet this morning? I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know the things you are desperate to get through the line for. I don't know them. But you know what those things are. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He has not said anything without doing it. So what is God saying to you in the situation you are in now? What is God saying to you? If God hasn't said anything, now this is it. If God hasn't said anything, pray what you know about it and watch God in faith doing the miracles in your life. So church, I just want you to lift your voice and pray for anything you want to pray for, because we are talking about prayer. You will win because that's whom you are. You are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Oh God, I thank you. I give you praise, Father. Oh, I give you glory, God, because I'm winning. At home, I'm winning. At work, I'm winning. In my community, I'm winning. No matter the strategy of the devil, I am winning. In the name of Jesus, I, oh God, break every, oh God, work of darkness. I rebuke you, Satan, and I win, oh God, all the time because Jesus is on my side. Lord, I thank you for the power you have given to us to win. I thank you because this victory is given to us by Christ. And Lord, we thank you because in our day-to-day life, we walk in that victory. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.